This past spring, I heard some wisdom from a colleague, Reverend Anastasia Zinke, regarding the process of internship. She said, internship should be more about learning and risk-taking than it is about success and security. Those words landed hard. Success and security. They are what I thought I would get when I came to you. I came in with great promise, as they say, and then my internship did not go as I had so carefully and meticulously planned. The quickest way to make God laugh, right? Our time together has in fact been much more about risk-taking and learning than it ever has been about success and security. Success is that static condition in which we are experiencing only the accolades of those with whom we serve. And security is that static condition in which all fears are held at bay and worries do not plague us. These aren't what I got. I got risk-taking and learning, for which I am so grateful. I took some risks that didn't pan out as I'd hoped. I tried to do more during my internship than is generally recommended. I added things to my schedule that took a lot of thought work, a lot of planning, and even travel. The process of trying to accomplish everything at once was draining, even exhausting. And in the end, as some of you remember, it threatened my health. Furthermore, I wasn't able to be as present with you as I had hoped, as present to our ministry together. I simply didn't have the bandwidth. And for that, I am sorry and ask your forgiveness sincerely. Other risks, though, have brought me unmixed joy and opportunities to learn. I have risked changing what and how I preach, and you have supported me at every step of the way. I have had great fun sharing classrooms, and you have taught me lessons of listening, making space, holding silence. And finally and absolutely, I cherish the risks we took and the lessons I learned from holding hands, holding hearts, holding space for the joys and concerns you have shared. You have taught me at every turn. And sometimes I absorbed and integrated my lessons, and many I missed altogether. Nonetheless, I did learn over and over again about my energy and time, and my strength and agility. And so happily, I have learned about you, about the congregation and the individuals that make this such a loving community. If Reverend Zinke was right, and I think she was, then I have had a most excellent internship, a rich, beautiful experience that will serve my ministry for years to come, a wonderful time of risk-taking and learning. And much of that learning has come from mistakes, as learning does for all of us. From the risks that don't pan out the way you'd hoped, from giving it what you have and nevertheless missing the mark. Now, I'm going to tell you something really embarrassing. Until I was an adult, I thought that the phrase, you learn from your mistakes, was something you just said to make someone feel better when they messed up. I certainly thought that's what it meant when people said it to me. Growing up as a classical pianist and vocalist and the daughter of two academics, success at school and at music got me a lot of attention. Eventually, I somehow internalized that I was only worthy of love and positive attention if I succeeded brilliantly and immediately at everything. And many of us have learned this lesson of conditional worth, and it leads to the damaging, self-defeating practice of perfectionism. Perfectionism is finding the flaw in every achievement. It's looking at a list of positive things and finding the negative one immediately. Perfectionism is doubting all the love one receives while chasing an impossible, non-existent ideal. In the end, perfectionism is a game we always lose. But there are ways out. We can embrace all of who we are. We can be gentle with ourselves and stop playing this game that seems so endless. But why do we play it in the first place? Perfectionism is an attempt to avoid shame. We try to avoid the shame of failure, the shame associated with other people's judgments, the shame of abandonment and rejection. And so we strive for success and to hold it forever. Perfectionism is a place we imagine, a way of being we hope for. It's like an impossibly brilliant diamond created by unbearable heat and pressure. A diamond that does not exist. A gem that can never be. We know that seeking to find permanence in this life is a source of dissatisfaction and suffering. Dukkha, the Buddhists call it. Dukkha, the pain of striving, grasping, demanding that things remain, that they stay as they are, or that they become what we want, that they never leave us. In fact, the rigid demands of perfectionism take over our essential selves and replace them with striving, grasping, and demanding. Instead of engaging our lives as they are and can be, we cling to these ideas of permanence. We demand that our lives be a series of immaculate events. And if we fail, as of course we do, then we experience shame and a powerful sense of unworthiness. People in the throes of perfectionism ask themselves every day, will I ever be good enough? Smart enough? Strong enough? Will I ever just be enough? Will I ever just win and be done with it? A metaphor comes to mind. I am not prone to sports metaphors, but I just talked about winning, right? Life is more like a marathon than like an Olympic gymnastics meet. Many folks, however, live as though they're at that Olympic event. One shot to make it. One shot to win. One shot to be perfect and to be told you are perfect. As though there's one chance maybe every 4 years, and they'll probably age out before the next one. There's only one gold medal, the one for which everyone is competing and which only one person can attain. And if all that isn't bad enough, one wobbly ankle will put them out of the running forever. So really, you'd better win, or why compete at all? But if we think of our lives as long distance running, we get a different view. There are marathons all over the place, especially in summer. I feel like there's one every weekend here. Some people do run the race to become the first across the finish line. But more people run just to get to that line, to engage the experience of the race, to feel what it's like to run that race. Some run to learn how their time, their experience, their life compares to earlier times. For some, just to show up and start is an accomplishment, whether they finish or don't. Life is not an Olympic gymnastics meet. We may only have one life, but it is our task to live it, not to win it. Trying to win at life rather than engage it is a recipe for disaster and dissatisfaction with ourselves and others. For example, the Buddha came across a woman in a great deal of pain. She was hopping back and forth from one foot to the other, her face a mask of suffering. And as the Buddha got closer, he saw that the woman was clutching tightly between her hands what was hurting her so terribly that smoke was rising. It was a pile of burning hot coals. "My friend," the Buddha said, "please, please put down the coals. You are hurting yourself." "I will not," said the woman. "I cannot." "Why not?" the Buddha asked with concern. "These hot coals," the woman replied, "these burning coals are mine. They are mine." The implication there is that they would never leave her. Nothing would change. She could keep them. And perfectionism is the belief that if we do everything just right, nothing will ever change. And because all things change, perfectionism is a life sentence. Unless we can be relieved of this suffering by realizing that not only are we imperfect, but that embracing our imperfection is a way towards health and joy. Embracing imperfection allows us the freedom to find resilience and originality and to live more fully. The renowned dancer and teacher Martha Graham said it like this: "There is a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all of time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist in any other medium and will be lost. The world will not have it. It is not your business to determine how good it is. she says. It is not your business to determine how good it is, nor how valuable, nor how it compares to other expressions. She goes on, it is your business to keep it open, yours clearly and directly, keeping the channel open. It is not our business to determine how our mission, our work, our being, especially not our being, compares to those of others. It is not our business to condemn ourselves or others in a spirit of competition. No one of us is perfect. We are all perfectly imperfect. Our perfection, as the song said today, is the perfection of nature, of a mountain being a mountain, of circling ripples that extend outward, whether thrown pebbles, or the effects of our lives. This is the perfection of water being water, of stone being stone, always changing, always moving into new ways of being, yet never ultimately destroyed. We are perfect human beings because each one of us is a unique expression of the spirit of life. We cannot help being perfect. We just are. Right here, right now, not later, we are perfect. And of course, we are imperfect. Imperfect because we live in this universe and are not static. Because we are not those idealized diamonds, each facet the same, each angle the same, every corner the same perfect and eternal brilliance. We cannot help being imperfect. We just are. Right here, right now, we are imperfect. Embracing the perfection of imperfection is a great gift. It allows us to learn and grow, to be honest with ourselves and others. And my favorite, it ultimately lets us just relax and get a grip. We are worthy of love. We are worthy of love and worthy to offer love right here and right now. Thank you for reminding me of this. Thank you for helping me understand that nothing stays the same, that plans only get us so far, that success and security are not the point, and that all of us here and all that live are perfectly imperfect, gorgeous, brilliant children of this universe. Will you pray with me? We are children of earth and starry heaven, just as trees, mountains, butterflies, woodpeckers, and the moon. They all have their own lives, their perfectly imperfect ways of being, and so do we. And so I pray with them to the spirit that connects us, the fabric that is the web of existence, the no-thing that is behind and beyond all things. I call you. Somehow I call you, non-being that holds and is all being everywhere. I pray for all to learn. I pray for all to take risks. I pray for all who struggle to find rest and peace acceptance, and gentleness. I pray for all to know themselves worthy of love, both to give and to receive. I pray for all who are burdened to lay down the hot coals of perfectionism. Blessed be our hearts and our houses and all our perfectly imperfect lives. May all be well. May all be well and all manner of thing be well. Amen.